Hey, everybody. Today's edition of the Around the NFL podcast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Join Rocket Mortgage in saying thank you to essential workers by posting a video to everyoneknowsahero.com. Everyoneknowsahero.com. All right, let's get to the Wednesday show.
The Around the NFL podcast. Four men and a babe.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansen. I'm coming to you from a city filled with heroes in bunkers. Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, Greg Rosenthal. What's up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
I mean, Wes, you were up because I saw you tweet about it. We're already dealing with a global pandemic, and now we got earthquakes rocking the Southland on top of it. That's enough. We don't need that.
I was surprised it was only like a 3.8 on the Richter scale, because that was as hard as I've been shaken by an earthquake in 5 years.
Hmm.
There were a couple of times when I first moved out to L.A., but that was like it woke Keisha out of bed. It took a while for her to get back.
Yeah, my house, it felt larger than three, because there have been a rash of those over the years. But it felt like almost double that, just in terms of the violent shake and like little objects, you know, landing on the floor, that kind of nonsense.
I missed what was supposedly the big one, the biggest one we've had since we moved here last summer. That's supposed to be a fun one.
A lot of pop.
I mean, they're all fun.
July.
Yeah. Well, we're alive. We're just surviving. That's where we're at right now. We're surviving here during the global pandemic. And, I have an update as we speak. Breaking news. We spoke about it yesterday during the Mark Sessler mock draft. Bob Bates high on Denzel Mims. Was he high on Corey Coleman? He's not checked in on Coleman yet, but he said, I did not have to bring up Bryce Petty. That was unnecessary.
I remember the Corey Coleman conversation.
Yeah, I think he liked Corey Coleman. But that was on our Twitter show. We talked a little Denzel Mims, who I'm a big fan of, and we're going to talk a little. Maybe we'll talk Denzel Mims with Spicy. Maybe he'll be one of the guys that Spice Rack picks a little later.
How about that? Spice Rack makes his return to the Around the NFL podcast. He missed last year's show because of a mysterious scheduling conflict on his side. But we are excited because, like we said in our tease earlier this week, we don't know what we're going to get. We could get some of the best draft analysis in the business. We could get, Wes, nothing at all.
Well, we missed him last year because Spicy was basically couch surfing for like some age 36 year, entire year. It was amazing. He spent the night in my house a couple of times. He was, you know, in Hollywood a few times. You never knew where Spice was going to be last year.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Spice Rack is Chris Wessling's, erstwhile desert consigliere. And that's one of the things we're gonna have to talk to Spicy about: where he is right now, what is he up to, is he as plugged into the game as he's been in the past? I imagine he is. Spicy has always been a big sports fan, monster sports fan, so we'll be looking forward to that. And before that, we're going to, people thought maybe it wasn't going to happen, well, we were going to forget because we've done it in the past, but we have decided to table our sandwich props for this draft and instead focus on going around the NFC in 32 minutes. So we did the AFC last week. You people like this. So we are going to deliver the content you deserve, quite frankly. What do you think is more popular, the AFC or the NFC? What has more fans? Nobody ever talks about that.
I always assume the NFC because they had the NFC East, which was on TV 73 times a year, regardless of how good the teams were.
I feel like the NFC has been better and more intriguing the last 7-8 years. On this show, I mean, we know what's more popular because we have 4 or 3.5 fan bases in the AFC.
Right. I mean, there was a run for a certain group of fans, a certain age. There was a run where the NFC won the Super Bowl like 13 times in a row, and it was the same 4 or 5 powerhouses, which really kind of changed television because the Niners, the Cowboys, the Redskins, the Giants became like those primetime fixtures. But I've always been much more interested in the AFC. I don't know if it's just a Browns thing, but for some reason they have a very different feel, and I've always been an AFC guy.
Well, here's the good news. We're going to decide it right here because we're going to check the numbers. We're going to check the metrics, and whatever show does better, we'll decide which conference is more popular. My 3-year-old just walked by the garage door completely nude. I don't know what's going on there. That's the thing.
It's getting warmer here in the Southland.
It's a little warmer here in the Southland. We're really hitting the Southland hard. All right. You know the rules. Every team we hit, we go through all four divisions. We split it up. Each of us do a team for each division. 2 minutes on the nose. No messing around. No funny business, everybody. We'll keep on moving. And then once we finish up the NFC West, you will have a clear picture of where these teams are ahead of tomorrow's draft. Oh, my God. The draft is tomorrow. All right. You ready to get into it?
Please.
All right. Let's do it. Ricky, hit it. We're starting with Greg Rosenthal. Ooh. And the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm always like leading off just like inspect the deck because, you know, I'm going to bring the heat. Philadelphia, is it as simple with their first round pick? I clearly wasn't ready as drafting wide receiver, because, I mean, that really is their main need. It's a good looking roster. Maybe they need an off the ball linebacker, but it's such a good receiver class. We've talked about it, whether it's Justin Jefferson or Denzel Mims there or T. Higgins or whoever, they should have a pretty good option. The one thing I'm keeping an eye on, though, is whether they make a bigger move, whether it's Trent Williams or Odell Beckham or some sort of veteran move, or maybe it's Clowney after the draft. They have a lot of cap space, and it just feels like Howie Roseman, whether it's a trade up, a trade down, they would be one of the teams I would look at this week that could make a big splash.
Well, I think we know they need the speed on their offense. The linebacker thing, they have always seemed like to me one of those teams that expects and that respects analytics so much that they've decided linebacker is not a position they need to pour resources into. They can find linebackers anywhere.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, a number of mock drafts have them going linebacker, but I'm with Greg. I feel like Howie Roseman and the Eagles in their current incarnation are somewhat allergic to being quiet in the draft. They always seem to be up to something and not afraid of, the no risk it, no biscuit philosophy. I mean, they've done it over and over, and I kind of could see them moving up or targeting a wideout if they fell in love with one. But I mean, DeSean Jackson to me felt like a 1-year project last year. I don't know what they can plan to get out of him at this point.
And he's their only good healthy player. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey is so hurt right now, you know, coming off such a major injury. They don't know if they're going to have him or when they'll have him in 2020.
It's a real need.
I like a GM that is not afraid to trade. It shows confidence, right? Five, some of these guys
are your fans then, yeah.
3, 2, 1, 0.
Good start.
Look how we landed that aircraft. That was smooth.
The old Zeuser is going to talk about the Dallas Cowboys. They have the 17th overall pick in the first round. Jerry Jones seemed to downplay any interest in the Cowboys trading for Jamal Adams. He called the move this week highly unlikely. And he went on to say that draft pick values are heightened because all the teams in the league want to use that pick on a player for now in the future that is salary cap friendly. Hmm. And I get all that. But my question to you guys is getting a young potential long-term starter at a reduced rate, that's great. But how many first-round picks actually turn out that way? And do you think team builders get caught up in the best case scenario and ignore the reality that you might actually be better off giving up that dreamer pick if it means acquiring a proven, albeit expensive star like a Jamal Adams?
Hmm. I think you're right. I think it's a good question. I think some teams like the Rams would be my primary example. Think like you do, Dan, that they'd rather do it, give up their picks on veterans. That's why they haven't taken a first round pick in 5 years. That's why they gave up this pick for Jalen Ramsey.
Does seem like the Cowboys can't get out of the continual cycle of having to drop a massive contract on a proven veteran on their own roster. So that might be a consideration. Mm. But doesn't it feel like a Jerry Jones move to go get a Jamal Adams? And frankly, if I were rooting for any team that had the 17th pick and someone said, you know, you can take a risk on whoever you get or you get Jamal Adams in a hot New York minute, I would go Jamal Adams.
Like the 17th pick kind of perfect too for a safety, yeah. West. Doesn't it feel like a nice trade? Jets get a mid-round first and the Cowboys get an all-pro safety?
Yeah, I think to answer your original question, teams overvalue first round picks from about pick 13 through 32. And then they overvalue fourth through seventh round picks. And I know why they do, because they can find special teamers cheaply. Six, you can find maybe a spot starter cheaply. Three, but they overvalue two, those picks.
One, and the cap stuff that you mentioned, Mark, that is important. They have so much money tied up. in those big three. All right, moving on. Chris Wessling, the G-man.
Well, we've heard Dave Gettleman say in recent drafts, he's got a top five pick. He's looking for an automatic, surefire Hall of Famer. And to me, that which one of those offensive tackles is the surefire Hall of Famer? I think Mekhi Becton is the most interesting one because we read through Bob Ginn and other people that he has the highest ceiling. He's a monster of a guy who can like reverse dunk a basketball. So the athleticism is there. I wonder, now we're hearing the Dolphins might trade in front of them. Who do the Dolphins think the Giants are going to snag there at tackle?
Well, that's assuming, you know, that they really are looking for a tackle, the Dolphins, if they did trade up. And that's what there's a couple of reports, I think, including from Ian out there that says so. I don't know. Tristan Wirfs is like the athletic guy. He kind of reminds me just, you know, hearing his profile to Nate Solder, who was incredibly athletic and got drafted a little earlier than people thought. And they still have on their roster. It doesn't get me excited. But if you're a Giant, if you're Dave Gettleman, there's not really any pass rushers that you would want to take that high. It doesn't seem like this draft lines up well with what they actually need.
I wonder if the Giants would ever still be in play for Clowney just because they had been linked to him before if they don't get that kind of a player in the draft. Gettleman to me, it feels like a lock and load. He's going to take someone along one of the lines. It's interesting to me if they've come to a consensus on the lineman because every mock you see is a different tackle at the top of the list.
Well, that's what McGinn said to us, that he can't remember a draft where the top guys on the line are seemingly interchangeable depending on who you talk to, which if I'm a Giants fan or I'm the Giants, I'm like, damn it. It has to be this draft. We wish we had the, you know, Joe Thomas locked and loaded, but they're going to have to make a decision. It's not going to be an easy one.
Well, I think they could take Jeff Okuda. No one's
that seems like
them,
a safe pick.
It seems like they certainly have a need at cornerback. They have a need at basically every defensive position except for run stopping defensive linemen, and that's what's at the top of this draft.
We're like the 12th year in a row.
1-0.
Mark, close out the NFC East with the Redskins.
Well, I don't like that Washington's first move in the draft could be losing one of the best left tackles in football in Trent Williams. And it just seems like that's, you know, the cycle of bad teams not being able to hold on to, star power. And their quarterback to me is a question mark in an offense that looked like a Pop Warner operation from 1953 last season. Only five teams allowed more points. No team scored fewer points than the Redskins in 2019. This is a super proud, once proud franchise. I think Ron Rivera brings a dose of sanity. And, you know, realistically, this team needs a star to market around, but to just legit build around the roster around. And, you know, they've had an okay moments on defense here and there, but guys have come and gone. And I think that, you know, it's Chase Young or nothing else. The only argument, and I'm not trying to trigger Wes here, but you know, there's so many needs on this roster that if someone offered an insane blockbuster deal for that number two pick, it's something that I would think about if I were the Redskins, just because you need to build in multiple ways. But am I crazy to pass up on Chase Young if I'm Ron Rivera?
I think you're crazy. I think you take Chase Young. And my problem with that report was not that the Redskins shouldn't think about it. I mean, that's exactly what they should do, is field huge offers, but that's not news to me. I don't know. I just think that's what all teams with the number two pick do.
I don't think their roster's quite as terrible as people think. I mean, the defensive line's pretty good. If you add Chase Young, it's on paper one of the best defensive lines in football. You got old Jack Del Rio, by the way, back in the mix. I feel like we have not mentioned Jack Del Rio's name in about 4 years in this podcast. And he is their defensive coordinator. You drafted Terry McLaurin, who, you know, a rookie of the year candidate last year. Like, it's not the worst team.
I'm happy to have Jack back.
Yeah.
Certainly.
KBR.
Let's move to the NFC Norris Division. Greg, the Detroit Lions. Be nice. Be nice.
Well, I mean, what's there to be? Hey, all right. What's there to be nice about? They are like a zip up sweater of a football team. That's what they are. Just a generic, you know, it's like $35.
Not off to a promising start.
Put it on. You know, Bob Quinn, their general manager, if you go back and look at his drafts, it's a lot of singles. Like they haven't been that bad. There's certainly teams that have drafted worse than them, but his best draft pick, I think, since he took over 4 years ago, because he was there before Patricia, is probably Kenny DeGalladay. That's like a lot of singles, maybe a double there with Galladay. They need some home runs. And whether it's taking the number three pick and it's Okuda, or trading back, and we're hearing that that could certainly happen. Like, you need big time playmakers because they just don't have it. They're just a very vanilla roster.
That's interesting. How would you feel if they were the team that traded up with the Redskins and got Chase Young?
Right. I think that could make some sense. Like, they need someone that makes a difference. They have five former Patriots starting on their defense right now. And other than Trey Flowers, like, you probably missed the best of those guys, maybe Justin Coleman too. But it's like, I don't know, where are you going with that in a bunch of like safe picks? I think you got to go for a home run.
Should they have ever questioned the quarterback situation? I like Matthew Stafford. I'm not saying that they need to make a move there, but what if they take Tua? Suddenly the Lions have a total identity, and it's not Matthew Stafford's fault, but the team seems completely identity free to me.
I'm pointing to the same thing, Wes, you had said, I think, in our conversation with Peter Schrager, like trading away Darius Slay and then drafting Jeff Okuda. It's like, yes, you're gaining cap relief, but are you getting better? Same thing. Maybe Tua is a generational talent, but how much better are you going to get than Matthew Stafford? A team that has holes, isn't it better off plugging them elsewhere?
And Stafford played really well with Bevel, the new coordinator, last year when he was healthy.
The Chicago Bears, no first-round pick. They have the number 43 pick from the Raiders in the Mac trade. They have the 50th pick in the second round. They're going to have to hit on those guys, those two picks, because there are more issues here than just QB, which is the soap opera everybody lingers on. Last year it was all about the kicker. This year it's all about the quarterback with Trubisky and Foles. Starting the secondary, Prince Amukamara cut. They let Ha-Ha Clinton Dix walk. As of now, that's a ton of snaps in their secondary that have not been plugged, as far as I could tell. And lost in all the Mitch Trubisky stinks talk is that this offensive line was not good last year. It was ranked, according to PFF, 25th in the league. And I guess it's on Ryan Pace and the people inside that organization to decide how much of the line's decline was connected to the quarterback and the habits of Trubisky and Chase Daniel, and how much was maybe just a downtrend. And they need more weapons. The Trey Burton out, Jimmy Graham in thing, that does nothing. And, you know, quietly, Allen Robinson had a nice season last year, but they need more for whoever's quarterback.
They have three second-round picks, which makes them someone to watch. They have no first-round pick because of Khalil Mack.
Tariq Cohen coming off a bad season. Anthony Miller has been so banged up since they drafted him. And Jimmy Graham hasn't made a play in 3 years. It's tough to know what they have outside of Allen Robinson on offense.
Or what Matt Nagy's offense is, because I feel like, if anything, the Bears are floating away from any sort of signifying mark of who they are. And I'm not sure the Khalil Mack deal ultimately was worth it on any level. And it's, Ryan Pace has, in my opinion, made some incredibly questionable moves. He's lucky to be attached to an organization that moves at a snail's pace when it comes to refurbishing the front office.
It's a big year for Mac. He's paid like a monster. They gave up so much, and he was quiet last year. They would need him to be a super duper star. Moving on, the Vikings, Chris Wessling.
Well, they've got two first round picks after picking up the Bills selection in the Stephon Diggs trade. I thought they might be a team that could trade up, but I think Rick Spielman likes his early picks because he's good at it. He's one of the best drafters in the first and second rounds. I think you look for a wide receiver like Justin Jefferson with that first pick, and then it gets interesting with that second first round pick because they need help in the secondary. And they've got some connections here. Trayvon Diggs is one of the better cornerbacks, Stephon's brother, who they traded away, and Antoine Wingfield at safety, who I think is screaming up some draft boards. People really like him, even though he's undersized. He hits like his dad. So some names to watch with Vikings connections.
Pretty amazing if the brother of Stephon Diggs was suddenly brought into the Vikings. I wonder how that would work what is the first phone call between Stephon and his brother if that happens?
Yeah, just, I think his mom was quoted as saying that would be awkward if he was drafted by the Vikings.
It's like, stay away from Zimmer. It's really weird to look at the Vikings and think, I think they're in good shape on offense. Yeah, they need another receiver, and I'm sure they'd like to improve their offensive line, but I feel like they feel better about their offense right now than some of their positions on defense, especially in the secondary. It's just it's a total transition year for the Vikings. And to their credit, like as you mentioned, Spielman's pretty underrated in terms of his drafting, his team building, and he needs some home runs because they did a great job drafting for a long time, and they haven't had as many hits, I would say, the last 3 years or so.
Offense is kind of hard to figure out because they were great in stretches last year, and then they would disappear every once in a while in the back end of the season. But I don't think that is their biggest concern by far. It would be good to find a Diggs replacement, though.
Huge and they're used to having like multiple awesome defensive ends, and maybe they'll bring back Everson Griffin, or maybe they'll draft one. But this is the first time in a long time that that's not the case. 1-0.
Mark Sessler, your favorite, the Green Bay Packers.
This is the one where I refuse to overthink it. And maybe their front office is going in a completely different direction, but I look at this roster and I just feel like you were 13-3, but a little bit of a soft 13-3. You got to make this all about a final push, a final kind of chunky era for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm just not buying the idea that Devin Funchess is your primary starter across from Davante Adams. It's not just there. I look at their tight end position. You've got 35-year-old Mercedes Lewis. You've got Jay Sternberger, and you've got nothing in the draft tight end. So the talent around Rodgers, and I get that Bob McGinn wouldn't point to that first after our talk with him, I think it's suspect. And I think there's an argument that they need to add weapons there. And if, for me, they're picking 30th, and I realize that it's a deep wide receiver draft. And the new thing seems to be like, don't trade up for a wideout, kind of stay where you are. And maybe, you know what? That's fine. Maybe that works. But part of me just thinks that Green Bay needs to make an aggressive move. This is your Super Bowl window. You got to win this division and not lose in the NFC title game for the 18th time. And going up and getting one of the primary one or two wideouts that everyone consensus believes in is what I would do and what I think you could galvanize the fan base with. Who thinks that idea sucks?
Devin Funchess. I'm just looking at his numbers. I know last year was a disaster. He got hurt and barely played. I wonder if he is like a potential sneaky producer next year. I wonder if he has a shot.
Yeah, I like that call, but what they really need is an explosive, fast playmaker. Davante Adams is an awesome route runner, great body control, not the fastest wide receiver in the league. Funchess is big and not fast. Their tight ends are not fast. They need an explosive guy.
I like that Dan, he made who takes each team. I see what you're doing, Dan. You're giving Sessler the Packers just because you think he's going to bury them.
If you look at it.
1-0.
Let's take a brief pause just to let you guys know. There was strategy to it. You both everyone got two first place teams and two last place teams. And it was not done at all according to like who you guys connect with as Heat.
Okay. Look at that. That's an interesting and a crafty strategy by our host.
All right, leadership. Back.
I would have given Mark the Packers just to see.
Yeah, that was just.
I mean,
happy
it checks
accident.
That box too. So.
All right, let's move on to the NFC South, starting with the Saints. Greg, you boys.
I don't know who I heard say it, but I agree. Wolf. The Saints have the best roster in the NFL, and yeah, you could. There's a lot of positions you could go. I mean, cornerback. You could add another receiver and there should be a good one on the board at 24. But because there's linebackers, certainly because there's not like a total screaming need. And because Sean Payton and the Saints were so connected to Mahomes a few years ago, that more than any other team, I do wonder if Jordan Love is sitting there at 24. Are they the team to take a swing? Because I don't think Love has nearly the profile Mahomes did coming into the draft, but he certainly looks more like him and just has the athleticism and the excitement every time he touches the ball. And he is a guy I think Sean Payton could look at. And yes, you have Taysom Hill there now, and it's not a need, but he could look at as a guy that if we put him in our system and I get to groom him, that seems like a potential landing spot for Jordan Love.
I love that. And I also think the Saints would not be out of bounds for the Saints to trade up for Love if they felt like, that's what happened to them with Mahomes a little bit. There was a lot of interest and someone jumped in and took him. And I think that if that was in their plans and in their thinking when Mahomes was drafted, certainly quarterback has to be a target, no matter what they think of Taysom Hill.
What happened to Taysom Hill is the next Steve Young. We're bailing on it already.
I don't think we're bailing on it. It's just that, that is something that is a experiment to TBD. I love Taysom Hill.
Yeah, I mean, everything they've said publicly and privately is he's the successor. They love him. And I think it's noteworthy that for the past however many years, 5 years, we've been hearing they're getting first round quarterbacks in that building. They want to draft a quarterback. I haven't heard that much of that this year.
Put it this way. If they take a quarterback in the first round after letting Teddy Bridgewater start the five games last year, I have everything I need to know about how they view him.
Well, exactly. And they've correctly scouted him, I think.
Moving on. Oh, speaking of the Saints, let's stop down quickly just because it's kind of an interesting nugget that Sean Payton told players Wednesday they will not have any type of offseason program this spring, virtual or otherwise. This is the quote from Payton. Take care of your families, your health, and be ready this summer. Mm. Completely wipes it out. He had a tweet with I believe it's a Game of Thrones ref of kind of mocking the setup of what the virtual meetings are like with all the players and coaching staff. I wonder if this is going to be, Peyton's an influential guy, a domino where a lot of teams are like, this is stupid. Like I know what we're trying to do here and stay in touch with the players and start installing some layer of what the 2020 game plan is, but maybe we're better off just clearing the decks and waiting for everything to settle.
Well, I would add that that does need to go through some channels in terms of the league and the NFLPA and how they want that stuff to be handled. That came from our newsroom on some level. But secondly, that's maybe more of a luxury for a team like the Saints, where the coach, the quarterback, and many of the players are embedded and know each other well. That's not a luxury, a first-year coach. Matt Rhule's not going to approach things that way, I can guarantee you.
I guess I wonder what Rhule or any of these first-year coaches really think a lot's going to be accomplished in this. I guess they're going to find out.
Communicating with players you've never met, I would think you'd want to establish some idea of who you are as a coach with as many players as you could. That would be my approach if I were a first-year coach.
I was stunned to see this because you just don't see NFL coaches give up control like that. That they're saying, okay, we could have you 2 hours a day for a month and a half, but we're going to say no. We're going to trust you to show up to camp. And you just don't see them giving up control. And this is a different time, obviously. I think New Orleans is one of the hardest hit cities, too. I think maybe that's a factor because a lot of the players live around there. Sean Payton had coronavirus, so maybe it's hitting him a little bit. There's a lot going on. And to your point, Mark, it's a veteran team, so it's not the same. But I can't remember coaches doing anything like this. I'd be kind of surprised if other teams took the same approach.
I mean, he's not doing this if he thought it would hurt the team. So yeah, he must not think they're getting, it's something they're going to.
Here's the next level move, though. You do that, you say that, then you create a trend around the league where others are saying, you know what, the Saints are smart, we're going to do the same thing. Then the Saints secretly are meeting for 2 hours a day, and they are getting that little bit of a Saints edge.
That's good. That's like a. That's kind of, that's 2 points for you, Mark. A new pink pony operation, perhaps, in a way. Maybe.
All right. Possible.
Let's get back into it. Oh, yeah. NFC South, Atlanta Falcons. Start the clock, Ricky. Fix this defense. That's the goal here. And Thomas Dimitroff. I mean, let's calm down with that. This guy he's aggressive. He has engineered 17 draft day deals and 5 trade ups. Up or down the first round since joining the Falcons as the general manager or being named the general manager. So everyone is connecting the Falcons to moving up, and it makes sense because they have a guy that likes to do it. Cornerback is a huge need here. Desmond Trufant was released, went to the Lions. So they are a team that is connected to Jeff Okuda, CJ Henderson from Florida, but both these guys are expected to be gone at 16. Hence, everyone connecting the Saints with moving up to get one of those dudes. Don't be surprised if it happens.
Yeah, Vic Beasley's gone. Trufant's gone. Devonta Freeman's gone. Devondre Campbell's gone. A lot of the better picks Dimitroff's had and kind of who you associate with the Falcons are gone. And they need, I mean, you can say this about a lot of teams, but Dimitroff needs a lot of hits in this draft, too, because he was on a hot streak, and that's kind of slowed down the last 3 years.
Are they ever going to have a hard-hitting, tough defense that stops people? I mean,
that's what they do.
I mean, they need a linebacker. They need some help on the defensive line in addition to cornerback, and they need to finally just change their mentality, stop people. Mm.
When we saw them beat the Rams in that playoff game, that was the one month or two where I thought that defense really, and, you know, coming down the stretch of the Super Bowl year, but that when they knocked off the Rams in that playoff game, that defense started to look like it was finally turning the corner, and then the wheels come off.
10. You raise an interesting point, Wes, because it's almost like the vision they've had under Dan Quinn hasn't worked. 3. You know, on defense. It just hasn't.
1. Since we've been covering football, it's been this with the defense.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Everybody's excited about the Bucs. How about you, Chris Wessling? What's going on there?
Well, they've got a couple of issues, but when I look at this team and you look at the style with which Tom Brady plays quarterback, you need a third down back. And I wonder if in the second round, a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire is there from LSU. Seems like a perfect guy. But then you also think, would Brady prefer a veteran in that role? So if they pick up a really good third down back in Trent Williams in this draft, I think that's what a veteran team like the Bucs needs.
And they talked about a deal, you know, that almost came to fruition where the Bucs we're going to send OJ Howard to Washington, and Washington was going to send Trent Williams back. So it's definitely on the radar.
There's a lot of backs in this draft, I think, in the second or third round that can catch passes that they would love to take. Cam Akers is a guy I've watched and I really liked. He was on kind of in a terrible situation at Florida State, but he has that quickness and he has some receiving ability that you love to see. And those guys tend to translate pretty well to the pros.
Trent Williams makes so much sense for them, right?
I think so.
The window is open for a short time with Brady. Obviously, bringing Gronk now. This team is looking to win right now, get a 31-year-old left tackle with huge upside. No, kind of makes sense.
I guess where do you put Donovan Smith maybe on the right side then? I mean, they have one tackle. Their roster, it's kind of does remind me of the Browns because on paper, the roster looks great. I know it doesn't normally work out that way, but on paper, it really does look pretty darn good.
I take Donovan Smith and make him your pass catching back. He's a veteran, big body pass catching back.
Remember a couple summers ago when the Bucs were on Hard Knocks and we were kind of having the same conversation about them. On paper, this team looks pretty good. Steve's got a chance.
And the difference is they can get excited about their secondary. A lot of young players that they liked how they played under my boy, Todd Bowles.
0. I like how he's your boy then. Well, that's fine. You've been supporting him. That's fair. The Carolina Panthers, Mark Sessler.
I feel like genuinely interested in the Panthers for the first time in a while, just because I kind of like reclamation projects. Matt Rhule was nice enough to come up and say hi to us at the combine. More coaches should realize that has a major impact on.
Do you think we're ever going to attack Matt Rhule after that happened?
I also think he's just an interesting coach. I mean, based on everyone that's worked with him, loves him, but you've downgraded a quarterback, I'd say. You've lost a Hall of Fame worthy talent in linebacker in Luke Kuechly. You know, you're basically looking to, in theory, under Matt Rhule, rebuild the roster from A to Z. And I think one name that keeps sort of coming up paired with Carolina is Isaiah Simmons, the linebacker, who is, you know, an uber athlete, but may need a certain type of defense to fit in, or you have to build the defense around him. I also think that, you know, if Jeff Okuda ever slid down to them at number 7, that's a big guy to consider. James Bradbury's gone. I mean, I think you start on defense. My one question would be, and I get that Teddy Bridgewater, you know, to some people is great and probably your lock and load guy. But what
talking
if, you know,
specifically at Greg Rosenthal?
No, I'm just saying. But
I mean, like, no one has tried to make Teddy into like a world beater.
I don't buy Teddy as like the.
There's one stat that jumps out to me as problematic.
I don't buy him as a rebuilding quarterback that you build around. So if two ever fell to you, does Matt Rhule hasten this rebuild quickly by saying, all right, we've got now two good quarterbacks?
I think that makes a lot of sense. They're a team no one's really talked about that much. Dan is showing me a piece of paper that says 6.0, which is what, Dan?
That is Teddy Bridgewater averaging less than 6 air yards per attempt with the Saints last season.
You know who didn't average many air yards per attempt last year? Like Drew Brees. You can win some football games. Yeah. But by the way,
Drew Brees can't physically throw it more.
Teddy
than
Bridgewater's
yards
career
at a time.
Record is like 24-11. Put some respect on his name. 10, 9.
That's data, bro.
7.
I mean, my feelings on that.
Walker, 4, my son, walked up to me 3, during that and said, 2, "Did you say Todd 1, Bowles is my boy?" 0.
All right, and Mark, good luck to you. I know the Panthers, you're very excited about them. Moving on to the NFC West to close things out, Greg
Only
Rosenthal,
slightly condescending
the Arizona Cardinals.
All right. The Arizona Cardinals has Steve Keim drafting number 8 with maybe the worst track record of first round picks until Kyler Murray in the entire NFL. Josh Rosen, bust. Hassan Reddick, looking like a bust.
Bust.
Kim Dichie, bust. Buchanan, Deion Buchanan and DJ Humphries, we'll give you singles and doubles for that, something like that. And then Jonathan Cooper was in there, was a massive bust. Number 8, he could go in any direction. Like, you would think defensive line would make sense, and there's guys that would be worth it at the top of our draft. As
what just happened?
Walker crashes.
Greg's kitchen just started.
Yeah, Walker. He crashed into some magnetiles, I believe. And the magnetiles are worse for wear. I don't know. They could still take a receiver, is where I was going. You know, like, if they think the value is there to just go crazy and have an unbelievable offense and receiver, like, I wouldn't fault them at all, because the defensive linemen at the top of the draft don't get me as excited, because they're all supposed to be better stopping the run than rushing the passer. That doesn't get me that excited.
And we love Fitz, but he's year to year at this stage of his career. And if this is truly an excellent wide receiver draft class, if you love a guy, go get him.
I don't know. I think they're going defense. That's where I would look. If Derek Brown's there, wouldn't they just gobble him up?
They're one of the worst defensive lines. Like, their defense on paper needs a lot of work. And, you know, on the field, too, they struggled pretty badly last
year. I had Derek Brown going to them in my mock, so case closed.
Nice.
But a nice left tackle wouldn't hurt, or lineman in general, please.
I don't know. Like, when you hear, I guess with Derek Brown, like, he sounds a little coming out like Star. Maybe not. Maybe that's unfair. Star Lotulelei. But those guys,
he's much bigger than Star.
Maybe Quinnen Williams even a little bit. It's like, well, eventually maybe he's going to develop into a pass rusher. And to me, that is the NFL. Is you need pass rushers from the interior.
1-0.
The Rams, their situation reminds me a lot of the 2017 Saints, a former contender that needs a big draft to restock the cabinet, get the organization back on track. But there are problems there because, of course, first of all, finding the 2020 equivalent of Marcus Lattimore, Ryan Ramczyk, and Alvin Kamara, easier said than done. That task becomes damn near impossible when you don't have a first-round pick like the Rams. So the Rams are in a really tough spot. It kind of screams transition year to me. But, of course, management's not going to look at it that way. They want to contend this year. And if they're going to get better, they have 2 second-round picks at 52 and 57. They got to put some focus on that offensive line because Todd Gurley shipped out of town, gave up on the franchise star. But how about the fact that well-respected places like PFF ranked the Rams 31st in offensive line rankings, which was a huge fall-off from their Super Bowl season in 2018. So they got to invest in that. I know they brought back Andrew Whitworth, but he's old, and they got to get some fresh talent in there. Jared Goff needs a big year, and get some hogs up front, and hopefully you hit on a couple of these guys. It's going to take time to get the Rams back on track, but pressure on Les Snead in the second round here.
Mm.
What few draft picks they've had the last couple of years, third, fourth, fifth round, they've been using on offensive tackles. And I think the jury's still out. Nobody really knows if those guys can play. They were really high on Joseph Noteboom, and he was graded terribly by PFF last year before he got injured. So I think you're right. That's still an issue because nobody really knows what they have there.
Well, they like Josh Reynolds. They say trading Brandon Cooks was a vote of confidence. They do have some things. I mean, they have Woods, Coop, Cup. They have Sean McVay calling plays, and they have Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, arguably the best players at their respective positions. But you're right, there's more needs here. And I think offensive line interior is certainly one, but just playmakers in general, whether it's running back, tight end, anything, they need.
A lot of needs, not a lot of money, and not a lot of picks right now. So they're just kind of a bit of in a bind here.
2-1.
Good luck.
0.
Now, building might not open on time now. Wes, the Seahawks.
I feel like all throughout January and February, we kept hearing from insiders, you know, if you're looking for a team to really surprise in free agency to go guns blazing all out, those Seattle Seahawks. I mean, Brandon Schell and Benson Mayoa aren't really doing it for me. I'm not really impressed with what they've done in their offseason so far.
Mayoa,
maybe they're the team that goes after Yannick Ngakoue. They have a guy who trades as much as anybody on draft day, and John Schneider. So I wouldn't look there. And then maybe I still don't trust the tackle situation outside of Duane Brown. So maybe you go Austin Jackson late. What are you laughing at, Dan?
We're going to pause because I want Wes to have his full 2 minutes. But on the subreddit, which check it out on Around the NFL, there's an entire thread right now dedicated to Greg going, after certain things are said.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people like it, though.
Nice. A lot of people. It's not really being criticized. It's more just like a study in when Greg does it. Once you hear it, you can't unhear it. And now I can't unhear it. Although it's always been in the back of my mind. But I guess after seeing that thread, right now it's in the front of my mind.
I mean, Michael Barbaro of The Daily, I don't know if you guys listen, he stole it from me. He's a big mmer. And that was essentially saying Mark Sessler had that very trade Ngakoue to the Seahawks in his mock draft.
Well, that's right. Where it was planted in my mind.
Wes, you're back on the clock. You have 85 seconds.
Well, I was done. I just want the Seahawks to make some moves.
They kind of fit with Ngakoue because they do have those 2 second rounders. And tell me if I had this wrong, but I think I read that Schneider has traded down at least with one of their picks out of the first round 8 times. And so you could get another, you know, draft pick as ammunition to go get Ngakoue, and then it solves your Clowney situation. I'm with you. They are wheelers and dealers, and I don't think that they're going to make it anything less than an exciting Seahawks draft in one way or another.
See, this is why I never look at the subreddit. Never have. Because now that you told me that, I don't want to know that. Now it's going to change how I am.
I'm in favor of that.
If I'm doing it, I'm leaning into it. And instead, my nature is I'm going to pull back and not do it as much.
I don't think that's the way to look at it. I mean, there's a whole breakdown of the inflection of your voice and where you come from and certain words that you say. It's a really kind of fascinating look into how people hear you.
And that sometimes it's a positive that you've heard something you like, and that sometimes you've heard something that you dismiss entirely.
Could be either way.
Orion Scattered wrote,
Seahawks chatter.
I noticed a few years ago, one of these things you can never unhear, but I enjoy it, LOL, and really reveals who he's vibing with on any particular episode based on who he's doing it at the most.
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
Okay. Where are we at? We're getting near the end here. This is actually the end. The San Francisco 49ers, Mark Sessler.
By the way, I'm now wondering if I'm going to get any from Greg based on anything.
You want the ums?
You need them. So it's something to monitor.
Get that respect,
right? Please. I mean, the Niners are what a weird week because, and I realize that they've denied some of this, but D. Ford, Quan Alexander come up in trade talks. Mike Lombardi cited that they're openly shopping Marquise Goodwin, Jaquiski Tartt. I mean, so there's a lot of potential movement here. They have some cap concerns, and I think that's why some of that's happening. But for me, I mean, if you're also going to move DeForest Buckner, your defense could potentially look a lot different. So you cannot get a developmental guy with that pick from the Colts. I mean, that seems overtly obvious, but I think they really need a flip the switch type of guy that keeps the Super Bowl window wide open. And I don't think you need to get too crazy here. It seems to be wide receiver, and they're in a good position to get CeeDee Lamb or Henry Ruggs or Jerry Jeudy. I don't know why you would do anything other than that. And I think that when general manager John Lynch saw me walking around the combine in a bathrobe, he was thinking these exact same things all the way back then. They knew what they had to do. I mean, they could have an awesome.
That feels like 100 years ago.
It really does. The fact that we were even allowed to do that feels suspicious. And maybe that was the heart of where we are today. That might have been one of the pandemic kernels right there. I'm not sure.
That's a new scouting term for me. Flip the switch guy. Can you unpack that one for me?
Well, I think you just like a guy that like suddenly their wide receiver group is one of the best in the NFC and a total headache to handle if they nailed the right wide receiver pick with number 13. Suddenly Kyle Shanahan could do all sorts of wonders with that.
Yeah, who's their number two receiver? I mean, that's even saying Debo Samuel's your number one.
If you move from Marquise Goodwin,
Bourne, Travis Benjamin.
I know we like Kyle Shanahan, but yeah, you want a more talented group than that.
Three. O-line help too.
Two, yep.
One. Zero.
We just went around the NFC in 32 minutes. Good work, everybody. And let's not delay it. He's already he's backstage. He's ready to go. He's wearing an old school New Jersey Nets. Oh, I love that shirt. That is,
let's go, baby.
Taking me back to the 80s. Spice Rack, welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast. And for the first time on video, and he's still got the looks. handsome guy, tall.
Good looking guy.
He said he even told me he shaved, had the dimples on.
Let's keep it up. Well, I shaved 2 days ago, then you rescheduled me, but it's good to see your freaking faces. I tell you, the audio and video are a little bit out of sync, so it's a little strange here, but it's nice to see your faces, especially my man Sessler.
Yeah, oh, right back at that
smile.
So within,
like, look at that smile.
Within Mark 15 Sessler. Seconds, he's already complained about the audio
Mark
quality.
Mark Sessler and three Ringo stars
a couple days ago.
No complaints.
I love this guy.
Yeah, we want to. We definitely want you have you focus. So I'm sorry that we had to rebook you, 24 hour delay. But we're very excited, Spice, because it's been 2 years since you've been on the show, and you've had some draft hits. You've had some misses. Jonathan Williams comes to mind, but you've also, you're a guy that's plugged
in. Hit? Isn't that a hit?
Is
Jonathan Williams a hit?
No.
He's got one.
Look what
100
the Colts did last year when he was pulled from the lineup. Two. He was great for two games. They pulled him, and then the Colts melted down the stretch last year.
It was more of a miss because we asked for a number of names that year, and the only one you would give us is a fifth-round running back. Like, if you were – if Bob McGinn was giving you a scouting report, you know, it'd be like, really knows his stuff, you know, picks a lot of great players, like, knows a lot. And then, like, the negative ones at the bottom would be like, it's unreliable. Some years just doesn't show up.
Uh-oh.
Imagine if Jonathan Williams would have taken the league by storm. My reputation would suck.
You'd have an argument there then.
Yeah.
All right. So let's keep
it. You can't write off his career yet, though. Can't write off his career yet.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's stay topical.
All right. So, Spice Rack, you are a guy. We don't need Spicy to tell us that Joe Burrow is good. But what we want Spicy to tell us about some guys that he loves, because I know, Spicy, you're not in the desert anymore, and you don't even have to say where you are if you don't want to. I have no idea what you're up to these days, but you're not at the desert. Unfortunately, if you were at the desert, I'm sure a lot of people that you worked with at the top of that pool are not employed right now. So it's a tough situation in Vegas. Maybe you got out of there just in time.
That's true, too.
But
perhaps
are you still tracking sports and college football as closely as you did during your Vegas heyday?
I'm not out of Vegas, A, and B, of course, and you already know that, of course. I watch all the sports, and right now during the in our time of quarantine, I'm following sports I never thought I'd follow. Taiwanese baseball, Taiwanese baseball, Russian ping pong, Belarusian soccer, Nicaraguan soccer.
Who's looking good in Taiwanese
not yet, but
baseball?
If it, I wish I had the I don't know. Listen, just take my word that I'm following it.
Your love of sports is as strong as it's ever been. And so why don't we get into it, Spicy?
Indeed.
And
always.
We know more than to ask for a set number. I had mentioned maybe on text 5 or whatever, but the guys are right. Like, we'll take essentially what you got. So whatever you have, guys that have captured your imagination, guys that are going to be big scores, whether it's a round one guy or somebody you can get a little deeper, get us going. Name one for us.
Well, I mean, it's not exactly off the radar. Oh, thanks for the music. Not exactly sure it's off the radar, but, you know, Tua Tagovailoa is a fun of college football players I've ever seen in my life. I mean, this guy basically didn't. This is what we're doing with the clown music here.
I don't see that as going on.
I don't hear clown music. Yeah. It's just background music.
The name of the song is Sugar and Spice.
Oh, Sugar and Spice.
So you would think it'd be crazy for the Dolphins to pass on him. You would think that would be insane.
At some point early on in the top 10, I mean, really, I think starting at pick 2, teams that need a quarterback are going to be they're going to have to consider, do we really want to pass this guy up because a health situation possibly. He is as accurate a passer as I've ever seen. He is and I mean, if I could take you back to the first time I ever even heard of this guy, and it's probably the case with many people, his, you know, Alabama's going for the national championship against Georgia. and he's struggling, or I should say Jalen Hurts and the team, Alabama in general, are struggling. Might have been 13-0 at half, but it was one-sided Georgia. And as a gambler that night, you told me to embrace my Jimmy the Greek there, Hansus.
Absolutely.
All the I positive, thought was the only chance. The only chance I have here tonight is Nick Saban making an adjustment at halftime, and he comes out in the third quarter with a freshman left-hander from Hawaii that on it, most people had never heard of before. And I mean, he won him a national championship. He's basically been perfect from the start of that third quarter through, you know, up until getting hurt this past season. So I see a lot of Drew. Okay.
What do you say to the skeptics? Our friend, your friend and mine, Cam Carey, one of them maybe, who might point out that your scouting report for Tua Tagovailoa sounds a lot like your scouting report for Kellen Moore when he came into the league.
Another southpaw.
Spice Rack famously huge on Kellen Moore.
I still am. There's a place for him somehow.
Let's hit somewhere.
Bring him off the bench. No, you know, Tua's got a stronger arm, noticeably. He's more sturdily built. That's obvious. You know, so it's a little different. I don't mind that I was wrong about Kellen Moore. I've been right about enough guys. That doesn't bother me. Tua to me seems like you know, a left-handed Drew Brees. Mm. And you know, when that 13 score Wonderlic score came out, which I understand it's a 19 and that was a false report, but I just rolled my eyes. I didn't care. He's so obviously a cerebral player. That can't be. I mean, that can't be questioned with a guy like Tua. He's one of those really smart scramblers.
He's a star. All right, give us somebody else, Spicy.
I like that.
We're off to a good start.
All right. Well, I mean, are you another star or just another human?
Somebody you love.
A draft eligible.
You're pounding the table. Someone's spicy. It's a spice guy, and your future on this show depends on it.
I'll tell you. The Lamar Jackson hit wasn't good enough.
Okay.
You weren't big on Lamar Jackson.
We'll just bring it up. You can come back, but we're going to bring it up. You know, so it's a guy you're staking your name to.
Antoine Winfield Jr. Now, full disclosure, I'm biased. His dad, probably my favorite Ohio State Buckeye of all time. As far as 5'11", 180-pound corners go, he's the best tackler I've ever seen. He's the most sure tackler I've ever seen as a little guy. He is. Oh, I don't mind putting that out there. That's an easy one for me.
Better than his dad. His dad might be the best tackling.
No. The dad is the best I'd ever seen. The prospect from Minnesota probably has definitely has, I would say, better ball skills. Maybe not the tackler, but definitely has that plays with a chip on his shoulder. Mm-hmm. It's obvious when you watch him play that he was a difference maker. He was a leader, and I'm an Antoine Winfield guy. I'm also betting on him to go higher than pick 41.
You're saying Antoine Winfield Senior was a great player.
He won the Thorpe Award as a corner. Without recording an interception.
That's pretty good.
So you think
how do you do that? He led Ohio State in tackles, and he played on the same team as Andy Katzenmoyer. I'm dating myself with the references here. But as a little guy, he didn't just stick his nose in there. I mean, he never missed a tackle. Hmm. So I'm rooting for him, and I'm rooting for Antoine Winfield Jr. in a major way. Right, I am biased. Undoubtedly biased, but he's a player and he's a proven player for a couple of years. Like, I just don't see him being a bust anyway.
So if somebody takes him in the back of the first round, you're saying that's not a bad pick. That's not a reach. All right. Somebody else. I feel good. This is a good one so far.
Yep. Let me ping you down on a polarizing guy. What do you think of Jordan Love?
I'm out.
Quarterback.
I'm out on you're Jordan out? Love. He's, he looks the part. He's 6'4", 220. You know, I think he ran a 4.7-ish 40 at the combine, which is, of course, a great score for a guy his size. But in 3 years of starting basically every game, this guy rushed for 400 yards on 2 yards a carry. Playing at Utah State.
Where you're, come on now.
Utah State. That's right. That's right. So if you're a good athlete, you're playing on a bad, you know, or average team. You're, you would think you're either playing from behind or being chased on a bunch of, I think back to maybe Jay Cutler at Vanderbilt. And he didn't take him over the top, but you could see his skills. He was running for his life, throwing on the run. And so I saw a guy in Jordan Love, someone who instinctively, I just didn't get it. He wasn't the best runner. He was safe. He only put up one good season, which is okay. That's fine. Coaching. But I just, a guy with his athleticism, he should have been able to,
all right,
you know, rush for 300 or 400 yards per season.
You don't like Jordan
yards
Love
in 30 games.
Okay, you're out on Love. That's
you're
right.
Out.
You don't like Jordan Love. So I want to know who you hate. Who is the guy people are pumping up, but you can't stand him? You don't think he's a player at all at the top level.
Jordan Love's not good enough.
No, you don't like Jordan.
I'm not,
Love. I don't
gotta
know
tell
who
you. I'd rather.
Who else lost you money?
I'd rather hype
we
guy.
Know
I'd
that
rather
is where these though. All come from. Who made you money and who lost you money? That's the secret sauce for Spicy.
All right, I can play that game. But if you want to go back to Antoine Winfield Jr. at a monster parlay,
we got him.
We got him.
No, we don't need him.
All right, we got Winfield.
Can I ask another question?
Hold on. Let me ask another question here. Ohio State has a great history with cornerbacks.
It's my favorite show.
Denzel Ward, Marcus Lattimore. Where is Jeff Okuda in this group?
Marshawn Lattimore. Oh, he's a stud. Can't miss. I mean, what's the snickering for? I don't know. Because
I messed up Lattimore's name.
What's the snicker? Fair enough. He's a stud. He's smooth. He's perfect. I mean, he warrants the pick. He warrants the pick. It seemed pretty obvious all through last year that this is that kind of player. I think he'll keep the tradition going.
Let's go quick here, Spicy. Give me a good day two guy. Who's a guy that's going to be picked up not in the first round, but you think can end up being a big time contributor perhaps quickly? Is anybody that jumps out at you?
I would say Antonio Gibson from Memphis. I think he's a pretty trendy name along that, but he's a jack of all trades.
Is he, what do you think?
He can catch and run.
What position does he play?
He's just a weapon. I don't know. The thing is, he's not that Tyreek Hill scat back size. He's built and runs and plays a lot like Anquan Boldin, in my opinion. So, yeah, he's shifty. He's not the fastest, but he's shifty and he's strong, and he's not looking to go down. I mean, he'll fight. He'll fight until the end. He's bigger than that.
Do you think he plays running back or receiver? Like, which would you?
I love Golden Tate, too. I love Golden Tate.
Are you drafting him as a receiver?
I think receiver. I think okay. Yeah, he'll be a receiver that touches the ball a lot, plus the return game. But I'm a fan of Antonio Gibson. And then I got to tell you, I don't know where, if you're looking for one other guy, I don't know where he's slated to go. But Cole McDonald, the quarterback at Hawaii, I don't know if he's fourth round, seventh round. He's on the radar.
Like
it's not that deep. It's not that deep. He's a tall guy. He's a pretty good athlete, and he will absolutely
Old McDonald?
Let it rip downfield. Cole McDonald. Cole McDonald. I mean, he's taller than these guys, but he's got some John Kitna, Jake DeLome qualities.
That's what you want.
Those guys weren't failures in life, but if you're drafting them in the sixth round, okay, you got a guy who's done some things.
A good backup.
I mean, he'll let it rip downfield. I could see him starting. I mean, Jake DeLome went to the Super Bowl, went to a conference championship game. I mean, he didn't do nothing.
So the
he, you know, he's a tall guy, he's a decent athlete, and he'll let it rip. I mean, he'll let it rip.
So the guy in this draft class that you think is the absolute slam dunk home run, is that Tua over even Burrow?
No, I mean, Burrow to me is an obvious first overall pick. I don't think.
And is there anyone
I don't
else?
Think anyone's really in his class. I mean, he's
before we ahead. Say goodbye to you, Spicy, and this has been a great appearance. Is there anybody you want to get out there? So when you hang up right now and we say goodbye, you're not thinking to yourself, "Damn it, I can't believe I didn't mention player X."
Well, I would just say CeeDee Lamb. You know, again, not an off the radar guy by any stretch, but this is one of the best wide receiver drafts of all time. I think that's been established by all kinds of people, and I feel pretty confident that he's going to be the best guy. He'll be the best. He'll be the best receiver from this draft. He can run past you. He can make you miss. And then for a guy with a slight frame, I mean, he's got a sort of a Chad Johnson, Isaac Bruce frame. He'll throw a stiff arm in traffic and do it. I mean, he is really impressive with the ball in his hands. And I'm betting on him tomorrow night to go in the top 11 and a half.
What about Denzel Mims, Bob Bates, DDS, Greg Rosenthal, pounding the table for the Baylor standout?
I'm a big fan. I like him a lot. I love Justin Jefferson. Love Jalen Reagor. There's a lot of recent. I mean, Jerry Jeudy is a given. Henry Ruggs, he's probably fast enough and versatile enough that he'll be a keeper. But he was pretty clearly the third best receiver at Alabama last year. All right, that means you're garbage, but
Spicy, just what are your thoughts about the scouts who in Bob McGinn's series did not rank Old McDonald as one of the top 12 quarterbacks in the league? He is listed alphabetically in the others section, but Old McDonald.
If I had a strong opinion about a
he's staying
guard
on the farm,
and an expert said otherwise, I'm staying on the farm, Hanses, because you got a sexy beard. That's a fact.
Oh, yeah. Man, Spicy, this is awesome. In fact, we're never
– I love you, Spicy.
When we do this again, it will never not be on video because it just adds so much more to the whole thing.
I love it.
We love you, buddy.
2022, lock it in?
Yeah, lock it in. Is everything okay with you, bud, in terms
Erica
of health?
Just,
and
Erica texted us during this saying – I am sweating. This is intense.
This is a thrill ride. This is like watching Speed in the theater.
That doesn't
the
sound like a compliment.
The effect that you have on women, apparently, from what we're hearing.
Yeah, what's going on? You got a girl right now? You got a girl?
What's the question?
You got a girlfriend?
You got a girl.
I mean, I heard the question. There's a few ways you can stall. And one of them is by asking, what's the question?
Radio 101. All right. Spice.
There you go. Spicy, thank you, buddy, and stay safe and stay well.
Spicy, we missed you at the fire pit. We missed you at the fire pit. Come back out.
Keep the seat warm, baby.
All right.
Spicy.
See you, Spicy.
There you go. Spice Rack. Chris Wessling's Desert Consigliere, the man, the myth, the legend, and he brought it today. I thought he had a lot of...
Great job.
Yeah, if someone, maybe on that subreddit, when they're done breaking down Greg's speech patterns, they can give us a full listing of the guys Spicy believes in, because I think I think he hammered off about 7 or 8. It was a little dicey there for a while, but I think we got a pretty good draft break.
I'd say this too. I thought when he opened with 2, I thought we're going to get, you know, I don't know what we're going to get. You never know what you're going to get. But Ricky, I loved what he said about Tua. He offered a lot of good information on him.
It was good to hear something positive about Tua. It's been a end of the draft process, not been kind to Mr. Tungavailoa. Nailed it. Ricky, you're sweating during that.
Yeah, that was something else.
It's good. He's good radio, though.
Yeah, that was great.
And not just
feel
like
the electricity. You feel more alive, you know, when Spicy's on the screen.
Yeah, I'm amped up.
But he brings the goods. If he didn't have the goods, if he didn't bring good analysis, it wouldn't work. But I think that's why we bring him back.
It also gives us something to root for when it comes to Old McDonald. I mean, I'm going to be tracking his career.
He's the new Jonathan Williams.
Picture like 15 of those guys in the same room, and that's what it's like to hang out on the west side of Cincinnati.
Get me there quick.
I know when we're doing our next live show. All right. That's it for our lead up to the 2020 NFL draft. The next time you hear from us will be, depending on what part of the world you're in, but we will have a day one, round one draft recap going up, hopefully within about, Ricky, about 2 hours after the end of the first round. You will have that on your phone.
Yeah, I think so.
In that range. Yeah, we're going to get recording as soon as round one ends and then get it out to everybody. And then Friday, that Thursday night show will stand as our Friday show. So make sure everybody listens to that, because that's one of the biggest shows of the year. And then on Saturday night, it only happens once a year. We will do maybe twice a year. late in the regular season with these week 16 and week 17 games, but a Saturday night podcast recapping the entire draft and, you know, sharing some winners and losers and just having fun with it in times that aren't so fun. So, and then I don't know what we're going to talk about after
then
this.
Then we're in a little bit of hot water.
Stan Hansen signing off for Quiet Storm, the mailman, the old boss, Ricky Hollywood, and the great Spice Rack. Thank you, buddy. Till the draft.